needs to know that he is living out a divine life and purpose because God has placed a call on his life. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I, this is Jeremiah, said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. This divine life and purpose is something we share. Not in the same way that Jeremiah has it, but we all, as followers of Jesus Christ, have a divine life and a divine purpose. It is too easy for us to simply say, I'm just going to get through the next 24 hours. And then day by day, by day, by day, by day, by day, by day, the whole life gets used up without having embraced a purpose for which we are called. Do you know what Jesus says is your purpose? You're to go into all the world and make disciples. Whatever else you might do, however else it might look, you're to be, and I'm to be, a disciple-making follower of Jesus Christ. You are to be, and I'm to be, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, speaking the very words Jesus puts in our mouths. That's a tremendous privilege, but it's also a difficulty, because it puts us on the out with the rest of the world. Amen. Don't expect that when you speak up for Jesus Christ that the world's going to like it. Huh. We've had that illustrated just this week with our new Speaker of the House. And by the way, I believe that we need to seriously be in prayer for Mike Johnson. And what's his greatest failing in the eyes of the world right now? Well, he's a Bible-believing Christian. And what was he called this week by a host from MSNBC? The greatest threat to democracy that's ever been. This is what the world thinks of Bible-believing Christians. Pray for him, pray for you, and pray for all of us that we could stand up as Bible-believing Christians even under the onslaught of what the world will say about it. Jeremiah stands up under the onslaught for 40 years. There is a thing going about right now, and part of it I respect about this much. It's an ad slogan for people to be thinking about Jesus Christ, and it says this, Jesus Christ, he gets you. Have you seen that? It's kind of an attractive thing, I will say. But when I saw it the first time, I thought, when Polycarp was roped to a post in the Colosseum, and they loosed the bulls on him, do you suppose it occurred to Polycarp to say to everybody, you know, it's going to be okay because Jesus gets you? I don't think so. I think we need something far more substantive than that. Before he was roped to that post, he was offered a chance to recant his belief in Jesus Christ. And when that offer was made, he said, "My Lord has been so good to me for 80 years. You expect me to deny him for just a few more?" Polycarp looked at Jesus and he saw glory. And he stood up for it. And so have brothers and sisters all around this world. And today, they are standing up. Today, according to Voice of the Martyrs, 400 of our brothers and sisters around the world will be martyred for Jesus Christ. And they will have opportunities to deny him too. And those who are martyred will not do it. They will stand for their Lord. And so ought you and I. This divine life and purpose is Jeremiah's. Even before he was conceived, God knew who he was. Even before he entered the womb, God had consecrated him for a purpose. And it wasn't just Jeremiah. I believe everyone is born under the sovereign hand of God for a work that they need to do. And whether their life comes to fruition from the womb and is lived out for 100 years, or whether that life ends within the womb, they have a sovereign purpose for God's glory. And I would say to some who are parents of those children, there's going to come a day where somebody's going to walk up to you in heaven and they're going to say, "Mom or Dad," and you will behold how great and noble the purpose for their life was. And I believe it is a terrible atrocity every time one of them is killed on purpose. That does not mean that I would want to say to women who have had abortions that I stand against you. But I do stand with Jesus Christ, and I offer to you healing and wholeness and forgiveness that would come from him if you will repent and ask for it. Don't say what you can't do to God. Jeremiah says, "I'm only a youth." Maybe Samuel would have said something similar. Maybe Moses, we know, said something like that before God at the burning bush. How many people have heard what God wants them to do and say, "God, I can't do that because of..." Cast aside that doubt. Cast aside that doubt. If God calls you to a task, that means he will enable you to fulfill that task. It is not up to you to get it done. It is up to him to get it done through you. Don't ever doubt. Put it aside. And that can be really daunting. And you may need to remind yourself 10 times a day, every day, to not doubt. You might think that if you doubt, somehow or other, you're a lesser Christian than someone else. You're not. You're just an ordinary human being who needs to be encouraged. Be encouraged. God is placing His stamp on your life. You can walk it. And put your fear aside with these words. I am with you. I am with you, says the Lord. You know one of the biggest syrupy things that gets said on Christian placards? Behold, I am with you even to the ends of the day, age. You hear it so much, you forget how potent it is. I am with you, Jesus says. When you face whatever it is you're facing, who is right there? Maybe you're alone and there's nobody else in the room with you, but Jesus is right there. I haven't read the book, but Kareem Jabbar wrote a book not too long ago, and it's not a great spiritual tome, so don't read for that. But the title of the book is Coach Wooden and Me. And in the book, he says, and I am paraphrasing a bit, for the 50 years that I have lived since I played for Coach Wooden, he has been present with me every day of my life. And I was surprised to find that he wasn't just a coach. He was always, first and foremost, a helpful friend. That from one of the great basketball players that's ever been on this court in the NBA. And he doesn't talk about it in terms of playing basketball. He talks about the presence of a coach as he walks through life, even after the coach is physically gone. I know somebody infinitely greater than John Wooden. And so do you, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You know the Lord of the universe, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, the author and perfecter of your faith. You know the one before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know Him, and He walks with you every day. So don't doubt and put fear aside, for I am with you, He says. Why do we have to hear put your fear aside so much in the Bible and read it sometime just for that, and you'll see how often God has to say to us, don't be afraid. Why do we have to hear that so much? It's because we get afraid a lot. And we need to hear from heaven, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you, He says. In his 40 years of ministry, as Jeremiah is presenting the word of God to his people, time and time again he meets with what the world would call failure. He speaks the word of God and he gets thrown into a cistern. He speaks the word of God and he gets tied up in front of the king. He speaks the word of God, and the king takes his book and he shreds it into pieces and tosses it into the fire. Jeremiah speaks to his people for 40 years, seemingly without any significant impact as that world keeps declining. If you just wanted to study him on the basis of what so many present as church growth strategists, Jeremiah's ministry is a failure. But it's not a failure because he's faithful to the Word of God. And God does what God will do. It mentions the three kings in the text, but the first one is Josiah. And Josiah is really kind of the high point of Jeremiah's ministry because Josiah is actually a king who has a passion for the Word of God. They rediscover the book of the law when they're redoing the temple, and they bring it out and they read it, and Josiah has his heart stricken by what he hears, and he rends his clothes and he starts a reformation of his people. It is the high point of Jeremiah's time, but Josiah dies when he's 39 years old. And then his son goes exactly contrary. And then Jehoiakim, who at least is king for a little bit longer, gets even worse. And then there's Jehoiakim, who again has only 3 months in his kingdom. And he's even worse. And Zedekiah, I won't say Zedekiah is worse, he's just useless. And all that Jeremiah has been speaking to them about winds up being taken to Babylon. Is Jeremiah a success? Yes, he is. Because he does what God tells him to do. After he tells Jeremiah, don't be afraid, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and overthrow, to plant, to build and to plant. I have put my words in your mouth. And I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. This is an important thing with the whole book of Jeremiah that I need to point out. Much of what's said in the Old Testament is said directly to the nation of Israel. And so to make application for those statements, you need to take the principles and apply them, but not directly to a particular nation. It's a mistake to try to equate the nation that we live in with the nation of Israel. I know people do it, but it's a mistake. Jeremiah's not like that. This is remarkable. Jeremiah is not just a speaker to the nation of Israel, he's a prophet to the nations. That means what's in here can come directly to us in a way that wouldn't, say, be true of Isaiah. This makes this book something to behold. But what he's going to do with Jeremiah's words is, first of all, he's going to knock things down. He says here, I'm going to pluck up and break down. He's going to pick them up and he's going to toss them. And he's going to smash things to bits. Some of you know that I kind of like Marvel Comics. And one of the characters that I kind of enjoy is the Hulk. And you know the Hulk's purpose in life? Smash. Just smash. He's a simple being. Jeremiah is kind of the Hulk to his culture. Jeremiah is going to pluck things up and break them down and destroy and overthrow, but that's not all. He is also going to build and to plant. Because hope always has the last word. Hope always has the last word. This weeping prophet has in this commission this glimmer of hope that God's going to use me to plant and to build. As you're looking at Jeremiah and as we look to him together, never forget this. Between the time Jeremiah was speaking and the time we're in right now, something absolutely marvelous and unique happened. Do you know what it is? Jesus Christ was lived and he ministered. He died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb, and then he got back up after 3 days and he walked out. And then he got to you with his Holy Spirit and he said, "You follow me." What is it that God will say to you and I to do? I challenge you at some point to wake up every morning with this simple prayer. Lord, I'm available and willing today. If you give me an opportunity, I will speak a good word for Jesus Christ. I don't promise you that that will go easily, but I promise you that your Lord will smile and he will help. And you will be just a little bit like Yirmiyahu, whom we're going to learn a lot more about together as time goes on. Heavenly Father, as I have been looking at these texts over the weeks, it has seemed to me that you have flooded my heart with things that are daunting. And one of them is the need to be a courageous spokesperson for you. And as I pray for myself that I would fulfill that call, I pray for each who is here today. First of all, that if someone is not a follower of Jesus Christ, your Spirit would call them to follow you. But those who are followers, Lord, that as they follow and as they embrace the notion that they are to be disciple makers, that you would give them opportunity and courage to speak up for Jesus Christ whenever they can. Amen.